Hello, everybody. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. This is Andy Lopez. Today, you're going to listen to be showing. I left. Today, I'm playing some of my oldies by goodies. So, enjoy.
My guest is Andy Lopez, who is known as the Invisible Gardener. And, Andy, welcome to the Denver market here.
Thank you. Thank you. I miss Denver.
it's a great place, although.
I'm a Boulder boy.
Oh, are you really?
University of Colorado.
Okay, you're a Boulder boy, and I'm in Denver, and I'm a Santa Barbara boy, and you're in Malibu, so.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I got a story to tell you, just to begin, to kind of frame things. My mother-in-law is 100 years old. She lives with us, or we live with her. Her best friend in the whole wide world is probably the most spoiled dachshund you ever met in your life. and you know, dachshunds are strong-willed anyway, and then when they're spoiled, it's just awful. And yeah, really, really. And so she'll go into the kitchen and she'll prepare some food for her and drop it on the floor for Gilly, her dachshund, and then eat a little food for her and drop it on the floor for Gilly. And so guess what the result is? Ants. Ants.
That's right. I can figure that one out.
Of course, the first thought that we would have is grab a can of Raid. And you say no, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You know, people don't realize that the ants have the people trained.
Mm.
The way it works. That's the way
it's,
it works.
It's kind of like Gilly the dog, isn't it?
Exactly right. The ants know now when the food's coming down, and it ain't no, it's not a coincidence that you put the food down, and bam, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So they, you know, there's a training thing going on. That's why I call it Dances with Ants. My book is called Dances with Ants. I tell people, it's like I'm Captain Kirk. I tell Spock, Spock, we're not going to kill today. You don't really have to kill the ants. You just have to train them. Mm. You know what happens if you get rid of all the ants in your property? You get more ants again. And you have to start all over again.
Mm.
Ants are really, they're incredibly smart. They're, for starters, they're a female-run organization.
Oh.
Females run the whole thing.
Kind of like my household.
Yeah, right. The warriors are females. All that the males do is have sex once or twice a year. They get, you know, they go off fly. They look like termites. They have wings. They go fly. And then that's 100 male. One male makes it with the queen, you know. And mm-hmm. The rest of them go off. Did you get any order? And they die. It's not a bad life. Just sit around, you know. You don't do any work. But the thing is that because they're female run, what one ants know, all the ants know. Mm-hmm. They spread the information around very, very fast. And they're really, really, really super smart. And ants are Mother Nature's janitors. So that's their job. Mm. Oh, let's go pick it up. Oh, it happens to be food. Great. Let's get it. And so what I would do, my first thing is to say, well, follow the ants. Where are they coming from? How are they getting in your house? That's the first thing I would look at.
Uh-huh.
I would say, well, there's a trail. Follow the trail. Mm. Right? Oh, they're going in that wall there. Where's that? Oh, that wall's coming up to the other side of the house to the yard. I would do, of course, is feed the cat in a different place. Feed the dog in a different way.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't want to. You're still having the ants coming in. So when you see the ants, you follow the trail, see where they're coming from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do like this one lady. Well, I plug up the whole wall. My house is full of ants. They're trying to get out. I'm trying to kill them because they're everywhere. They can't get out. So what I do is, you learn that the ants, they have a pheromone that they lay down so they can follow the trail. They're very sensitive to smells. All insects are really, really sensitive to smell.
Mm.
If you smell it, they smell it 1,000 times.
Mm.
So the trick here is to find something that you can spray because, yeah, you have the, I call it the good old boy urge, grab something and kill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of the women, the ladies usually are the ones that say, no, let's not spread the good boy. I don't care, I'm going to kill them. And so I tell the wives, look, give him this. He doesn't care what he's spraying. Just give him this. As long as he kills, he'll be happy. You see? And I started in the sixth grade, believe it or not, doing ant treatments. But I did gardening around my home, and everything was beautiful. I expanded. Neighbors said, well, do my place, and so forth. And then one lady says, well, help, help. I'm having a problem with ants. Can you help me? I said, well, sure. I'll take a look. And sure enough, she was having a problem. The ants were coming to the on the roof, coming in from the roof. You couldn't figure out it. They were coming down from there up, and I said, look up, they're up in the ceiling. I said, how do you get ants in the ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. And so I followed them. They were coming from a tree. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately became an arborist. I said, well, you got to kill the tree, because the tree, it's a law of cause and effect. The ants are only the effect. They go after, it's not the cause. Uh-huh. So the sick tree attracts ants from miles around. That's the way nature works. Uh-huh. And so I figured, well, you got to heal the tree. And in the end, that's going to take time. So in the intro, we got to help this lady out, because the lady says, she can't, she says, my kids are being attacked by ants, because, you know, the honey and whatever the kids eat, they're covered with it.
Sure.
So I said, okay, what can I spray that I'm cool with? And so I came up with Dr. Bronner's soap. I went to the store. I'm looking at all the things. I said, well, if I can't read the ingredients, I'm not going to buy it. Mm-hmm. Simple. No problem. So I look at this soap, and I go, wow, natural soap. Look at the back. It's just peppermint, eucalyptus, almond, Dr. Bronner's. You have ever heard of it?
No, never have.
It's called Bronner's, B-R-O-N-N-E-R-S, Bronner's. Dr. Bronner's a really cool guy. He's dead now, but his children are doing his Bronner's. And the guy invented, you know, it's essentially essential oil of plants. So, you know, lavender, eucalyptus, almond. Really nice, clean soap. You bathe with it. You don't want to do like I did. I used the lavender to brush my teeth with. It was like, ooh, lavender, no good, no good. I used the peppermint one. It was nice. Peppermint, oh, that's cool. But so they have a lavender, a different scent. And you just find the scent that you like. Mm-hmm. A little bit of water, maybe a capful and a quart of water. You spray the ants are dead. And on top of that, you smell nice and you cover the trail so they can't smell it again. Now, that's lavender soap. It turns out to be tons of different things you can use. There's another product called Orange TKO. I'm not going to ask you if you heard of it, because you probably haven't.
No, I haven't.
Do that too much to you, but it's called Orange TKO. That's a natural citrus cleaner. Doesn't have a petroleum distillate. All this is the oil of the peel, the oil of the peel of the orange.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the oil. It's the lanoline, L-lanoline. Uh-huh. And that's a concentrated citrus. It's meant to be a cleaner. You know, it'll remove oils. I use it on my truck all the time, and on the wheels, and it's just really nice cleaner. You don't want to get it in your eye. You wash, flush it down because it's a concentrate. But a couple of drops in a gallon of water, that's all it takes.
Mm.
Spray it, ants are dead, and they run away. So you find yourself, wow, I got ants. And so instead of reaching for the raid, you just go to the kitchen. I look at the kitchen and go, well, what can I spray here? Mm-hmm. What can I use that spray? And vinegar is one of them. Right off the bat, you can take tiny amount, because you do too much. I don't know about you, but I actually did too much and did a cup and a gallon of water. And vinegar is like, whoo, boy, everybody out of the house, everybody out of the house. I did that in the sixth grade once. I sprayed too much. I used the essential oils. You know what that is, essential oils?
No.
The concentrated. Essentially, they boil down like an herb or a plant to a concentrated, a really strong concentrated.
Okay.
So it's like one drop in a gallon. You have to be real careful with essential oils, because that stuff is strong.
Mm.
Many doctors say if you're pregnant, don't even touch this stuff, because you said, you know, yeah. Or you have to, but you should, you know, so essential oils, I bought an 8-ounce bottle and I dumped it in the gallon and I sprayed in the house, and all, my whole family was sitting outside going, the police came by, what's the matter, my son sprayed essential oils, and we're all sitting outside, we have to wait, we're venting the house out. So I tell people, be careful with essential oils. A lot of people use essential oils. You just have to. What I would do is ask your doctor, is it cool for you to use essential oils, because they can affect you biologically too, you know?
Yeah.
But
what we're talking about here is we don't use rape because that's toxic. And so what you're talking about is non-toxic things that will still kill the ants, right?
Right. But even then, you still got to be aware that something non-toxic, you use too much of that. Still no good.
Yeah. It becomes toxic.
Still no good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's too strong. Like, sure. For example, garlic is wonderful, but it's not in the house. Okay? Okay, so I bought this stuff, which is called garlic bear. 100 times. I still do. I go to the 99-cent store and I buy a little, it's an ounce container of crushed garlic. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You take the crushed garlic and you squeeze it, you pour it into a pantyhose, and you squeeze out the juice, so into a gallon of water, and you spray that.
Wow.
I used to take garlic cloves and crush them up and then put them in a bucket of water, boil the water, concentrate it down, and drain it out. I figured, well, well, I'm getting old. I'm just going to be smart. Buy the crushed garlic and do that. It's just squeeze it out. And the garlic kills everything on contact. It kills the ants, fleas, whiteflies. It kills all kinds of stuff if you do not want to spray it in the house, right? You'll be smelling garlic like crazy unless you're Italian or something.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I love the garlic. I love the garlic.
Right.
Right? I mean, I sprayed outside with garlic a lot, and this one guy came out, oh, I'm hungry, time to eat. It kills mosquitoes, it kills things. But I'll give you a little trick about garlic. It has nothing to do with ants, but, you know, people are concerned about mosquitoes nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and catching the, what's the name of that? I forget it now, but it's...
That flu?
You know, it's a,
Yeah.
It's a flu you'll get.
Right. I forget what it is, but yeah, it comes around, right. Even though
right,
we...
But anyway,
yeah.
So what I do, I started doing this a long time ago. Actually, I was a real bad teenager in school. Mm-hmm. I was always doing pranks, and my favorite prank is I used to take a clove of garlic, cut it in half, put one in each shoe, and walk around school that way. And you could smell me coming and going. People are going, what is that? Oh, it's Andy, the garlic man. And they laugh, and then I would, you know, if I said, hey, you do not get bitten by a mosquito.
Mm.
Scientists did a study just now, just published in the Scientific American, saying, well, it's the genes. The genes will cause you to smell to attract the mosquito.
Mm.
I said, yeah, I know that. I know that. It's, you know, whatever you eat will come out of your body one way or another, you know.
Yeah,
and if you mask that smell of garlic, they can't find you. If they can't find you, they can't bite you. So when you go out camping, or you know you're going to go for, the biggest problem with doing this is your friend. So your friend should do it too. And everybody smells like garlic.
Yeah.
And it not only works on mosquitoes, but ticks. And on top of that, I was in the country. I lived in Malibu. You go out in the forest, in the woods out there, and there was a mountain lion. A mountain lion was going, I don't think so. She was smelling me. She was smelling. She says, I don't think so. I stay away from you. And so that's why I spray garlic as well. And all kinds of creatures, but they smell the garlic. But anyway, back to the
garlic
kills the ants outside.
And if you have certain people that you don't want to be around, the garlic will drive them away too, won't it?
That works really great. I used to make a garlic sandwich, get about 3 or 4 cloves of garlic, crush them, put them on bread, a little mayonnaise, eat this thing. You'll smell like garlic for hours. Hours. My favorite thing in the service, I used to do that. You're cramped in a board ship.
Uh-huh.
Get this guy out of here. But so for the ants, there's a couple of tricks to it. See, inside the house, the main thing you do is you gotta keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the ladies, you know, if your wife is having a problem putting the tray down for the ants, simplest thing would be find out how the ants are coming inside the house. Spray something in the house that you like that you normally find. I tell people, look, you take a shower, you use soap. You like that soap? You like that shampoo? It must be good for you, right? So fine. I mean, I use natural shampoo, you know, natural.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you use some natural stuff. But even if you didn't use it, you know you can handle that soap. So you need just a little bit of soap. But lots of different kinds of Castile soaps on the market are called Castile soap, natural soap. I tell people use a natural soap, please, because reading the ingredients in some of these other soaps is like, whoa, what is that? Right? It's just as chemical as anything else you can find. So stick to a natural soap. I tell people, look, dog shampoo. Natural dog shampoo comes with pyrethrin, which is flowers. So use that.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of dog shampoo and water, spray, and then once you know the ants are out, fix that hole, and the ants won't get back in again. And then all you gotta do is outside. There's lots of different things, but there's a reason why you have an ant infestation. And you have to deal with that first. You have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the simple things like, hey, too much water. I tell people, if ants are wearing shorts and wearing glasses, too much water. See?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly right. You know,
right.
So the ants are running. So they go for the water. They go for a couple of things: water, warmth, and music. I swear. And you know, so places like Denver, when it gets cold,
mm-hmm.
ants have learned to move into the hot people's homes because they're warm and they hang out. You know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So underneath the building, so you have to sit outside. And if you live in a normal environment, you have a yard, stuff like that. You have to pay attention to water. Pay attention to the health of the soil, because if the soil, you overwater using city water, it's got chlorine and fluoride and whatever else, chemicals in it. On top of that, people use chemical fertilizers and whatever else. It's constantly destroying the soil. So you have to work on bringing keeping the soil alive because there's natural bacteria. There's things in there that normally control the ants, keep our population down. Look, I tell people if it's food for the bugs, it's not food for people. So what that means is that see the ants themselves, they don't attack a tree. The ants bring other creatures that attack the tree, whether it be aphids or whiteflies, you know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So they bring in, they milk them for their nectar, and that nectar is what they eat. And so I teach people about how to read BRICS, a BRICS level. A BRICS, B-R-I-C, is a measurement of sugar in plants. Mm-hmm. And there's a cook invented the refractometer. You know, I don't know about you, but my wife will go shopping, and she'll look at stuff, and she'll say, can I have a piece of this, please? And the guy will slice a little piece, he'll taste it. Oh, sweet, great, I'll take it. I'll take all right, chips. And so when I was young, I used to bite up stuff. No, I don't want it. And the guy said, you just bought that. Oh, okay. And so a cook invented a refractometer. Basically, you squeeze a little bit of juice onto the device. You read it. Oh, look at the BRICS level. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And so the higher the BRICS, the higher the corresponds to the sugar level, which is basically carbohydrate. And the higher the sugar level, the higher the mineral level. And so the higher the mineral levels, it changes. If you use a chemical fertilizer on a plant, yeah, it's going to have high BRICS levels. It's going to have simple carbohydrates, which is perfect food for plants, mm-hmm. for insects. Mm-hmm. And they'll go nuts. But if you raise the BRICS level with the minerals, no, it's complex carbohydrates, and they cannot eat it. And the ants will not attack that plant, will not, because they know that their aphids will die. And it's the same thing with any disease and any bug. That's how I control bugs. And things attacking trees, that's another story we can talk about. So for the ants, you have to see, what are the ants telling me? What's going on? If you see massive amounts of ants, something else is going on that you need to pay attention to, because that's what the ants are telling you. Hey, look at this, party!
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Party time.
So you learn to use compost, you learn to reduce your water, because we have to nowadays in California and wherever the drought is, that's another story we can talk about, how to reduce water and still have things alive. And you have to concentrate on giving things good food. So it's like you and I should eat good food. You eat junk food, you're going to get stressed out and sick. Mm-hmm. And that's what comes down to the plants. They get stressed out and sick. The property gets stressed out and sick. And the ants don't even care. They don't even know you're there. They just overflow in your house. They overflow everywhere. So you have to pay attention to those things. Most people aren't told. It's just they go out and kill the ants.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't solve your problem.
Right. Now, is all this in your book, Dancing with the Ants?
Dancing with the Ants, right. I have over 21 books.
You have a website. I imagine at that website people can look at all the books you have that's covering the stuff we're talking about. Is that right?
Exactly right. I do a membership, which I tell people, if you read the book, it's great to talk to the chef, that's me. Mm-hmm. I'm a consultant. I charge a lot of money for consultation. But hey, for you guys, $20 for a lifetime, which is nothing. You get to join for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. and you get access to all the 20 books. And more importantly, you get access to me. I have four radio shows. One of them is just for members only. So members, either they get on the show, a lot of them are shy, they just send me the emails. Hey, I got this problem, so on the show, like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. We talk. I can explain to them what the problem is, how to deal with it, and they're happy to do that, because people are, believe it or not, they want to get off the chemicals, but just don't know how to go about doing it, and they can't, and the good old boys, that would be the husband, says, we got to kill the man, mm-hmm. we got to get him out of the house, we got to get him off the fruit trees, we got to get him off, you know, and that's just for ants, but it's the whole gamut, because I do like roses and lawns and the whole thing. So it's a membership thing that people join. We have a radio show, and people talk to me like you're talking to me now. We have to call the organic hotline, they can talk to me.
And so your website is invisiblegardener.com, right?
Well, actually, people have a hard time with that.
Oh,
so sure, they can't spell invisible and they can't spell gardener right. I understand. So I got a website, don't panic. GrowOrganic.com.
Oh, okay.
Very easy. And that takes you to invisiblegardener.com. It takes you there anyway. Yeah. They don't have to join. They can just buy the dances. And that's $1.99 for the ebook.
Okay.
And it's taken me a long time to put together and explain the two aspects of it. One way is, you want to kill, fine. Here are things you can use to kill. You don't want to kill, fine. This is what you do to avoid killing the ants and still have a wonderful property. Because, I'm into not killing things unless you really have to.
Yeah. What about spiders and bathtubs?
99% of the spiders are totally harmless. It's just a thing we have. It's just people. If you have too many spiders, you go beyond your comfort level, then you dare. You say, you have to. What I do is I tell the spider, sorry, I'm going to kill you tomorrow, so you have an opportunity to leave today. And if you're here tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. And there are lots of safe things you could use. Again, you can go back to the soap. The soap works wonderful, natural soap. Stick to that if you're confused. The orange works really good. You know, lots of natural products on the market that you can use. The soap is the easiest one to deal with in terms of all forms of insects. Just stick to a natural soap, and then you find a strain. I'm the kind of person that tries to, you know, be a good gardener. A good gardener takes care of everything. Everything has a value to it. You know, all the ants. Like I said, you get rid of all the ants in your property? No. I mean, if I went to one place once, and I looked for ants, and I couldn't find them. I said, lady, and they were sick, right? These people are like, I can't really talk. And I said, what's your problem? These are dying. I said, yeah, it's so toxic here, the ants are not even coming around. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not coming back. They've been spraying this and doing that. It's like, whoa, stay away. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I got zillions of things after talking to you that I want to talk to you about.
Cool. We're having that out some more. I can be a regular.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Let's do that. But I don't.
And for you, I'm happy to come on regularly and just, you know.
I'd love to.
I can talk about roses. I can talk about lawns. I can talk about trees.
Okay.
And I can even talk about GMOs. People don't understand GMOs at all.
Uh-huh.
They don't. You know what GEO is?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay, see, so people should be concerned about genetically engineered organisms, not genetically modified organisms.
Oh, okay.
We are all genetically modified organisms. Mother Nature's number one modifier. You are not identical to your parents. You are genetically modified. When you go out and decide to marry somebody, you are actively choosing how to modify the genes of your born.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And almost all the food we eat is genetically modified. As a farmer, I look at a tomato and say, that's a great tomato. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to regrow the seeds from that.
Uh-huh. Boy, that's...
And so on. And that, you see? Yeah. And so the genetically engineered means we're going to take Roundup and put it in this as a gene. And no,
Okay.
That's what's worth that.
Well, you just told the story about my wife. I said, that's a great tomato.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. That's my wife. I call her hot tomato. Hey, just don't touch the tomato.
Well, listen, tell us how can people avail themselves of what we have talked about so far, about the ants and the things, your dance with the ants and... just how they can stay up on you, because boy, I tell you, I think you're a real find, and I do want to stick with you here.
Excellent, I appreciate that. I've been doing this since the sixth grade, and you know, I'm really a scientist, and I have such a high IQ. I'm not even going to tell you. I mean, I can talk about string theory. I can talk about all kinds of stuff because I would love to meet Einstein. I would sit there with him and say, "Dude, here's some things you need to think up on." But as I said, don't panic. Grow organic.
Okay.
If they really want to figure out me, type Invisible Gardener and spell it GARDENER. Mm-hmm. You'll get so much stuff on the internet. I mean, I have over 1,000 videos. I do a video a day. I do music. I teach. I write music. I'm writing gardening music.
Oh, wow.
I call it inner gardening music because I believe in the frequencies and energy. Mm-hmm. I give a talk on cosmic gardening.
Oh, wow.
And I teach kids. I go every week. I sit in front of kids and I go, what do you want to talk about today? And I was talking about sewer sludge and nuclear power, and these kids are so smart. And we take the teachers out of the room. Okay, all the adults out. And they say, well, what are you doing? And we can't. And the adults would sit in the back and they would raise their hands. And no, this is for kids.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, look me up, invisiblegardener.com. And you'll see that just so much information is there.
I'm
here to help people. Or they can go to don'tpanicgroworganic.com if they have a hard time with it.
All right. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. If you can spell, it's invisiblegardener.com.
Today's show, I'm going to be talking about an article I recently read called No Difference Between Organic Food and Chemically Grown Food. That's actually what the title of the article was. Is organic food worth it?
the bottom line, they said, no, there's no difference between organic food and chemically grown food. So I'm going to tell you what I think about it. You know what I think about it. We'll be right back. I started my business in the sixth grade, doing everything organically, and by the ninth grade I had 150 customers. I developed Don't Panic, It's Organic, somewhere during that time frame. And even then, there was a big argument whether or not organically grown food and conventionally grown food were different, other than, you know, the obvious difference in terms of pesticide use, you know, the damage it does to the environment, whether it's pesticide safe or not, even though they say it's safe. And it's still pretty much going on now. And in a recent LA Times article, a columnist wrote that there is no difference between organically grown food and conventionally grown food. Besides several studies that prove there is no difference between the nutritional levels, and he cites doctors, and they all say the same thing. Eating conventionally grown produce is not only safe, but just as nutritious. It is besides the fact that it totally ignores environmental issues, health issues of not just the consumer, but the workers that pick it, as well as the fact that powerful business forces are at work here to keep the public confused, in my opinion. Let's ignore these issues for now, and let's take a look at what is wrong with this idea that organic food and conventionally grown food is equal. First off, not every organic farmer knows what they are doing, just like not everyone that makes compost knows what they are doing. You are only as good a gardener, farmer, as the compost you make. Not all composts are equal, just like not all organic farmers are equal. Some are actual organic farmers, while others are in name only. Many farmers have decided to go organic because they will then be able to sell their products for more. But if I were to ask them just one question, and if they failed that question, then they would not only have the same problems as the conventionally grown, but their produce, their food, their product would not be any more nutritional than them. Especially if the conventional farmer either does not make or use compost, but also does not apply rock dust. You know, I talk a lot about rock dust, I talk a lot about compost. There's a basic law of nature that says you get out what you put in. You want trace minerals, then you put that into the soil. However, you cannot just throw rock dust everywhere and expect the minerals to then become available to the plants. Even rock dust, all rock dust are not the same. Some are rich in calcium, but low in iron. Others are higher in other minerals. It all depends from what part of the world and how it was made that determines what minerals it has. Okay, so the article, as well as the studies, do not even mention soil depletion. I wonder why. If your soil is depleted of minerals, then the produce growing on it will also be depleted in minerals. I'm not making this stuff up. There is a key to this problem, okay? In the article, which mentions taste, the lady says, I like it because it tastes better. The better the taste, the more minerals it has, i.e. Seabrix levels versus mineral articles that I wrote. Taste tells us we should eat it or not. We have developed over the years to eat what is sweet, what tastes sweet, and not what tastes better. Pests have developed along the same lines, except that nature in her wisdom made it such that when a plant has high Brix, it would have a high sugar level, which in turn means higher minerals, which in turn means higher complex carbohydrates. Insects, by the way, and you're thinking, wait a minute, sugar, ants, they like that, insects like that. Here's the key to it. It's a difference between complex carbohydrates and simple carbohydrates, okay? So, yeah, they're going to have higher, they may have a higher, more sugar level for right food for the insects because it'll be simple carbohydrates, but not if it was rich in minerals, which would then make it complex carbohydrates, and the insects cannot eat that, and they would die. So no insects, no pests. So remember, high nitrogen fertilizer is bad because they make the plants grow fast. They're weak and deficient in the minerals. Okay? So when I started my business back in 1956, I heard the same from the forces that chemical and organic produce are equal in nutritional value. What's a little pesticide? That has not changed over the many years. You really want to know, then I would test. What I would do is I would, you know, have a controlled test. I would actually get a real organic farmer that knows what they're doing, conventional farmer that supposedly knows what they're doing. I wouldn't worry about getting a neutral. I mean, somebody didn't know what they were doing, because, yeah, you're not going to get the results from anything. But I would get those two folks, actually have them grow it. One of the problems with these surveys is really a survey of a survey. The latest survey that this article refers to is really a survey of all the surveys. They took 300 surveys, put them together, and did the survey of the surveys. You look at those surveys, and very few, if any, have actually gone through the process of growing everything up and stuff, growing organically over here and growing a chemical over here. And even then, who are they to know? Are they good farmers? Are they actual is there any one of them in the survey an actual organic farmer? Or are they just saying, it doesn't make any difference. You just grow organically over here. How are you growing organically? Well, we're not using any pesticides. And we went on and got some organic fertilizer and put that down. See what I'm saying? It's like, so you have to have a skilled organic farmer that knows what they're doing. I would try one of the Rodale Group, right, or the Desmond Valley. It's 40 acres organic, been grown for years, or the Biodynamic Institute, you know. Any of these folks, the Permaculture Institute, will be happy to show you how to do it right. And you know, there's another word that wasn't even mentioned in the article, and that's sustainability. You know what sustainability is, right? Okay, so, you know, here we have a conventionally grown produce, and if they don't put the rock dust in the mineral, and that soil is going to be depleted more and more every year, and they're not going to get, they may get something that looks like produce, but there's nothing in there. And you can't tell me that that's the same as when you do an organic, a real organic farmer, which you are constantly building the soil, working on it, get it so it's sustainable. I mean, every year it gets better and better and better and better. And yeah, you have the mineral contents are constantly high and there, and you can't tell me that's not going to be this. That's going to be the same. So I rest my case. Thank you very much for listening to my show. This is Andy Lopez. Okay, so, and then we're also going to be talking about a new report just came out by Rodale. They call it the Farming Systems Trial, where they grew for 30 years, conventional and organic system side by side. Guess what they found out? So we'll be talking about, I actually will be reading from the report to you, telling you step by step what they have found. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is talk about a question. Okay, so here's the question. This is Andy, here's my question. I have a small urban lot with four raised beds totaling 160 square feet. Outside of that, I have fruit trees and shrubs. The front yard is strawberries and potatoes and, of course, herbs. In a recent episode, you said that vegetable beds should get compost added quarterly. At my peak production of compost was four piles, now down to two. I could never make enough of it just for the vegetable beds, let alone everything else. Is there some kind of plant I can add to my yard just for the purpose of compost creation, especially one that will ramp up the cooking and not seed itself where I use the compost? I do mainly cold compost as they composting as they just aren't big enough to get really hot. I'm adding newspaper and cardboard for brown. The tub of green goes out from the kitchen every day. I'm afraid to go around my neighborhood collecting clippings and leaves on the curb because I don't know what's in it. Good point. And I also know this is another question, but since I'm not getting the heat and what's left on my lawn is very weedy, should I avoid putting my lawn clippings in there even though they help create heat and need more compost? It's honestly more crabgrass and violets and plantains and dandelions than it is grass because I spend all the time on my plantings. I was completely neglect the lawn patches. Melissa. Okay, Melissa, so here we go. So the thing about adding compost to the raised bed on a quarterly basis, it's not like you really have to dump everything out and refill the beds again. There are several different ways you can do this. You have four raised beds. And, you know, one of the ways is just not use one of the beds, you know, so you have four raised beds. One of the beds for that few months, you can grow a cover crop, a green cover crop. Lots of green cover crops you can grow from alfalfa, peanuts, mung beans, you can grow, all kinds of cover crops. And so you can look up cover crops and see something that you like. A cover crop will not only grow in your raised bed, but you'll have so much of it that you can add to your compost process. And basically what you do is you turn you let it grow and then you turn it over and let it decompose right in your garden. And provide nutrients and you know, legumes and all that stuff, nitrogen and everything back into the soil. So there are a variety of different things that can be grown, from flowers to I like peanuts, different types of legumes, mung beans, any of the sprouts can be grown. Chives would do really, really well. Alfalfa. So there's lots of different things you can grow. You basically turn it over and let it grow, let it decompose in the raised bed. You have a lot of things that you're getting from the kitchen, and so I just need to make sure that you understand that you don't need to take everything out of the raised bed and redo it. You just want to add some compost on a regular basis to it, whether you adding it around the plants that you're planting or just before you plant, you can turn it over and add some compost to it. Ideally, you want to replace all that soil in there with good, rich, live soil. You don't need to do it every year, but what I would do is to let one of the beds go for that season. And you can actually add, you can do a cover crop, or you can just make the compost in there. So what you do is you're making your compost, you can take everything out of that bed, make a pile of it, start the composting process with that process. The pile that you have, you put in your raised bed. You don't take the whole all compost goes into your raised bed. You don't want to have a straight compost. Just think of it as a container, big container, so you want to add some good organic potting soil to your compost. See, right? So you do. You have rock dust. You find yourself a good source of rock dust. You want to blend that in with your potting soil. Usually the organic potting soil will have all kinds of really nice endonectar mycorrhizae. We'll have earthworm castings, all kinds of really cool things in it. gritty. You add that to your compost. 50-50 is fine. Let the two together. Turn it over. Let it sit for a week or two. And then you're ready to start growing it. You go. Then the next season, you do that to it separate. Another bit. You go through that process. Okay? And that will replenish your bed, your raised beds, really, really, really nicely without you having to really go into making a lot more compost than you are already. So the basic idea is that you can add a little bit of your compost on a regular basis to your raised bed. So once a season, you want to do as much as you can to rejuvenate the soil in there, whether you take everything out and replace it with, you know, your mixture, or whether you take half of it out, you mix it in together in there, or whether you go grow a cover crop or some type of crop that will grow and, you know, you turn over. When you plant, you always are adding some type of compost a little bit on a regular basis when you plant. The other thing that you don't mention much here is that one of the things you need to do is to mulch it over. So you have your bed, but the very top layer shouldn't be the compost. Should be some type of nice mulch. Azalea gardenia mix is really, really nice. You want the pH of your soil to be about 6.8. 6.5 is just perfect. 6.5 to 6.8 is perfect. Okay? And so you don't need to replace the whole thing. Like I said, you just want to be able to you continue doing what you're doing. It sounds fine. Your plants are doing well, you know. So you just have to rotate through your raised beds. Different season, you rotate through it. Another thing you can do, too, if it's finding too much for you to stop one of the beds and work on it, is to basically you make sure you rotate your crop. So in a raised bed, you have two choices. One, you can rotate the soil, or two, you can rotate the crop. So that means you don't grow the same thing in the same place, in the same bed twice. And that means that you can rotate between below ground crops and above ground crops. You can grow corn, or you can grow carrots, you know, go back and forth between stuff like that. And certain things like, you know, tomatoes, you can get, you can grow potatoes and tomatoes, call it a pomato. So you can rotate the crop. So different crops will take minerals out, put different minerals in. But you definitely want to be able to at least once a year redo each bed. So every year you can at least rotate through each bed, which you don't do anything for that season. Take everything, either you grow a cover crop or you re-amend the soil with some compost that you have in some organic potting soil and start over again. Just make sure you put a nice mulch on top, otherwise the whole thing gets burned right up. And in concerning your question that has to do with, you know, should I worry about it being weedy, with the weeds and crabgrass and the violets and plantains and dandelions. Violets, plantains, and dandelions are perfect. That's one of the things you can grow more of. You can have more plantains and more, you know, let them grow, and then you can use that in your garden, in your compost process, because that's really, really good for minerals. It provides a lot of minerals. Dandelions, plantains, and violets, all heavy minerals producers. The crabgrass, you can tell if you're producing crabgrass or not, because if you got a lot of crabgrass coming out of your compost, and then that's not good. If you don't, then the crabgrass is getting heated, then the compost is getting heated up enough to cause it to cook up. See, another thing you can add to your compost that you can add to cause it to heat up more is to find a good organic lawn fertilizer. You might not believe this, but it's a good organic lawn fertilizer. They're really not high in numbers. They have all the natural bacteria in it. They have a lot of minerals, really nice mycorrhizae, you know, all the good stuff in it. But it's usually a little bit higher in nitrogen than, say, tomato plants, or rear roses. So you can use a little bit of that to make your the compost heat up more. It usually needs a little bit of the greenery, the nitrogen producing stuff. So a good organic lawn fertilizer, like one, I use one that's like 555 for some of the customers that don't have a good time getting the compost to heat up. You can add it to that, it'll make it cook right up. Just gotta be careful because, you know, you add too much to make it cook up too much. So I would go on the light side. Use very, very little. But again, if your compost production is fine and your gardening is doing really well, you know, you don't have any real problems there, your vegetables are doing good, everything's doing good, then I wouldn't make any changes. You know, just keep doing what you're doing and you're fine. But if you have problems, you know, vegetables are not doing well for some reason, or you have, you know, diseases or pests, and you want to make some changes. So you don't say in here whether or not, you know, you're having problems, but I'm assuming that everything's fine, that you just want to be able to do the right thing. So thanks for your question. I already sent you your prize of the $1 gift. Plus, you're also, you can do the $1 live membership. Plus, you're also entered in the monthly contest. There's one contest where everybody wins. Everybody wins the $1. All you have to do is say, I want to get in on $1 for lifetime membership. You only 20.
Okay, that's not right. Sorry, just that's, like I said, this show is pre-taped from the past. So just ignore what I said there. As a matter of fact, just do it right now.
There's rock. It's a grower's kit. It's called grower's kit. So in the grower's kit, you're going to get 5 pounds of rock dust. It's my rock dust blend. And you're going to get a quart of the Municipal Gardener Super Seaweed, the micro. The micro alone is $140 for the quart. Okay. Members get 10% off, by the way. So if you're a member and you go shopping, you should know the code. If you don't, ask me and I'll give you the code, which will give you a 10% discount. But anyway, that's $100. At least it's at least $120. No, $140, and then the rock dust is another $40. So it's about $200 special that you'll get. So at the end of the month, I'll announce who the winner is, and I'll have to get your address and send you the grower's kit. Okay, so that takes care of that for today. Remember, you just send email to andy@invisiblegardener.com. Contest in the subject, question in the body.
Well, okay, well, there he goes. That's the end of him for that. Thank you very much for listening to the show. You know, we're not totally done yet, but that's the end of the three shows that I taped for you here. What I'm going to do next year, is I'm going to be doing I already made an announcement about I'm going to do a chapter. I'm going to go through my book online, go through all the chapters. And it's probably going to take about 6 months. We're going to probably do four different, either two to four chapters a month. And I have a whole schedule set up. So I made the announcement. You can read it on my website or on the EBS radio. You'll see this radio show schedule. And it's going to be really interesting because what I want you to do is I want you to get the book. You already should have the PDF version of it. That means, it's free. You don't have to do anything. You can read it while on the computer, too, while you're doing it, while we're doing it. If you want to get the printed version, you can get it from Amazon. You can get it from my website. You can get the Kindle version. You should be able to have the book also so that we can go through it. And I'm going to go through each chapter, and it's going to be really interesting. It's going to cover the book. It's going to take me half a year to cover just the chapters that we have in the book. So if you have the book, then this is an opportunity to talk about it. And then we're also going to cover, every month I'm getting I'm doing an environmental alert show. I'm working on getting a new guest every month also. So in January, I have the schedule up there. In January, we're going to start off with the intro and write from each chapter. So the chapter is up there in the book. So I want you to get the book, and we're going to start working on it. So, excuse me, in January, we're going to start with talk about mycelium for the the first week in introduction. I'm going to introduce everything that I've been doing, introduce myself. You basically start from scratch right there, you know. And then we're going to be going into the book, and it'd be no difference between organically grown food and chemically grown food. We talk about that. I'm also going to be talking about the mycelium. I talk a lot about mycelium. I call it the mycelium intelligence. And then I'm having an environmental alert show, and then I'm having a guest, and the guest to be announced. So as soon as I get the guests lined up, I'm going to be plugging them right into this announcement. So you should have gotten my information from the newsletter that I sent out. So in February, you know, we have so the whole schedule is there. It's always, I have it already set up all the way through, let's see, into September, October, so the November too. So so every month I have a really good schedule set up here for the radio show. I'm going to post it. I think I just had Don post it up, and I'm putting it on my website today, and also be on the radio show page. You can talk to me through the email, of course, or you can call me online. We can talk about it. That's what we're going to be doing next year. I have a really big lined up going of things going on, okay? And so, and then right after this show, I'm doing my cosmic spaceship show, and that's going to be on in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. And so I just wanted to say that we're gonna, next week we're going to be doing the same thing, and the rest of the month I'm looking through the past files that I have for my radio shows that I've done, and I'm going to put them together and play it for the rest of the month so that people can see what I've been doing. And also they're pretty good shows, very good information that available to people. And so I'll be doing all that and starting up live shows again in January, okay? So that'll be the first. So until then, go up there. If you get my newsletter, the newsletter has the links to where you can get the books. Like I said, the PDF version of it is free. You can get it right from my website. If you go to the blog, you'll see it. Scroll through there, you'll see it'll say get your Don't Panic, It's Organic free right here. It's no trick. Just click on it. It'll download the PDF version for you to use. Right? You can also get the what I call the hardcover version. Right? Where you, if you wanted to use the book, and you can get that from Amazon. You get it from my website. Any place you buy the book, you can get the hardcover version of it if you want to do that. It's a $20 version for the black and white version. I have the color version, which, by the way, before I forget, the winner of the contest, right, we have a monthly contest for November. Her name is Susie Miller. She's from Santa Ana, California. So congratulations, Susie. You won the two books, the Don't Panic, It's Organic color version of it. The only place you can get it is from me. This is limited edition. You get that one, and it's signed by me. And you also get the black and white version. So I suggest you put the color version away. What I have done with mine, they're one of my original ones, I put it in an envelope. I have it sealed. I'm not touching it. I'm stashing it away, taking care of it, right? I like to do like as many of those as I could, if I can, because they would be very valuable down the road. So you're going to get that one. I would use it with gloves, show it to people, you know, try to make it last. The other one, go ahead and use it, man. It'll get destroyed right away, you'll see, because you use it a lot. So that's what we're going to be doing starting next week. I'll be back. I'll have some more shows. I'm going through all the shows I've done in the past, lots and lots of shows. We're going to have a whole month on natural ant control. We're going to be doing the natural organic fertilizers are becoming, the Body in the Garden show is going to be coming up on the lobby. I'm going to be inviting some doctors. I know a doctor who became a gardener in order to learn about the soil in order to take it back to be a better doctor. Plus, there's a lot going on between the body and the garden, right? Some obvious ways and some not so obvious ways. And so we also have, I'll be doing a show on rock dust. September is going to be about rock dust. In August, I'm going to be doing a soil testing show. And then, of course, I'm doing natural lawn care, natural rose care, the whole thing, underground pest control. So it's basically each chapter of the book. And so I want to be reading from the book and then discussing, going over with it, and answering your questions. If you have any questions, you can always call me up and talk to me, right? Or you can email me, because that's what it's all about. And so I think we have another few more minutes. And I'm writing some interesting stuff these days for my music. And so if you stuck around, you'll find it very interesting. One of my latest songs was Thank You, and that seems to be doing really, really well. I think you would like it. And this one here, for example, is the one I'm working on now. This is the one I'm working on now. I call it My Spaceship Has Arrived. So I'll be playing that as soon as my spaceship show starts. And then next week we'll have some more shows. We'll have lots of shows that I'm going to pick from, and I hope you'll like them. Thank you very much. And visit InvisibleGardener.com, okay? InvisibleGardener.com. Remember, membership is free.